This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
At the end of World War II, the victorious powers debated whether or not to bypass trials and directly execute the leaders of the defeated powers. British Prime Minister Winston Churchill was for, as he said, bumping them off. But he was overruled by U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt and Joseph Stalin, leader of the Soviet Union, both of whom favored a court trial. Senior British government officials argued the decision to prosecute Nazi leaders for waging a war of aggression would set a dangerous precedent. Regrettably, it did not. Despite the Nuremberg trials of Hitler's leading associates, post-1945 history is filled with ghastly wars of aggression. Like World War II, these wars also killed millions upon millions of people, from Korea to Indochina to Iraq and Afghanistan. As Remembrance Day approaches, we invited Sarah Bjorknes to discuss wars and anti-war movements. Sarah is a union and a peace and justice activist in Vancouver. Good morning and welcome to the studio. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mordecai.
StopWar.ca, in which you've been active, is marking its 10th year of hard, sustained work to stop war making. Looking back at the work of Stop War, what do you intend to celebrate?
Well, I personally celebrate my participation in that group. I came to it as the Iraq War was developing, about 6 months after the coalition had been formed, participated in the massive marches trying to prevent the war in Iraq from happening, and then all the subsequent mobilizations that we've made as the war progressed, as the war in Afghanistan continued. Just getting people out in the streets, hearing them reminisce about how that was reminded them of the anti-nuclear movements and those large marches, reminding them again of their power as citizens to mobilize. And then as the war grinds on, the wars, plural, grind on, continuing to do educational work and bringing speakers in that are, well thought, well written, doing analysis so that people can continue to engage in these issues in the public. As the impetus for paying attention to the war and what the troops are doing, and people forget, it becomes more difficult to get people out and to remind them. But so that's probably the most difficult thing but probably worth celebrating the most is that we're still doing it after 10 years, even though it's a small core group of people. But we feel we have the support of all the groups that form the coalition behind us.
You mentioned, at the start, there were massive demonstrations, certainly estimated, I think in Vancouver, about 40,000 people initially trying to prevent the war against the people of Iraq. And today, much smaller, as you say. Do you detect a kind of trajectory in anti-war mobilizing in any sense in terms of the scale of people that join in on it?
I think it's just changed in ways that we couldn't have imagined. Things like the internet and social media provide a certain level of connectedness and education that goes hand in hand with the stuff that we actually do in person and on the ground, and calling for smaller rallies and educational events. And so I think people have the ability to be more aware, and sadly there's a lot more to be aware of. The multiple wars and aggressions continue around the world, and Canada involvement in those is increasing, not decreasing. I think it looks different, and in some ways, people reminisce about, well, I wish we could get that many people out in the streets. But there's power in the other activities that we do too, in engaging in politics. And, you know, I'm a bit of a cynic about that, but I do appreciate that the connections to politicians and pushing things on multiple levels and multiple fronts is really what's needed.
The obstacles in popular thinking, the challenges that they pose, what sort of things do you find in people's consciousness or the way they approach the world that in some ways are challenges to be overcome if they are to sustain involvement in anti-war work?
Well, in Canada, I would say the myth of peacekeeping is still huge. And as we push back against the Harper agenda on increasing militarism, convincing people, you know, the difference if you ever believed we were peacekeepers in the first place, the difference between what we're doing now and what we thought we were doing in the past, the amount of money we're spending on military as opposed to human needs, trying to point those things out. My sense is, and I'm always careful because I'm looking at it from a very particular perspective, that people do understand, you know, how things are interconnected and linked, and how it's not merely a, you know, go over there and fight the bad guys and save somebody anymore. But it's whether people are willing to look at it that level, because then they have to look at their own complicity in it. And that's always a challenge, to actually get people to be that reflective.
I'm struck for sure the Harper regime has intensified the war making and intensified the militarization of our culture, and I'd like to get some of your thoughts on that too. But one of the things that I go back to is people from the Liberal government were the ones that developed this doctrine of the responsibility to protect and to intervene, and it becomes used particularly in the sense of, it's our advanced culture which must save the women of Iraq or Afghanistan from the dictatorships and oppression in their society. Do you find that continuity is accepted by a lot of people in the country?
Sadly, yes, I think it is, and that's something that that I think most anti-war activists are trying to push back against and come up with examples of. Particularly women's groups in Afghanistan who are quite able to speak for themselves if they're given the venue to do it, for us to hear them, to say, you know, no, this is really what it's like, and no, you're not helping. Yes, you've come in on one side of a civil war. You know, those kinds of things is where do we get the information from? Whose voices do we listen to? And that's one of the reasons why I appreciate Co-op Radio and this program, and because it is an alternate avenue to hear what's really going on, as opposed to what certain people want you to hear.
And certainly some of the amazing work that Stop War did was the work with the anti-war and feminist activist in Afghanistan, Malalai Joya, and she was here twice, I think, and toured in the province to give that viewpoint you just expressed.
Yeah, and you know, and the connections that we're able to make, Derek O'Keefe being able to, you know, help Malai with her book, not only with the writing, but then with the promotion and making that very direct link with Canada.
On the opposite side, I was in the bank the other day to get some money in $20 bills, and I looked at the new $20 bill with its pink poppies and memorial of Vimy Ridge. What other things would you draw attention to that the Harper government is, parts of our society that the Harper government is militarizing?
Well, just this week, because Remembrance Day is coming up, I've seen some good articles and commentary from people about, and even news coverage of veterans having strong opinions about how the government is using their money, you know, to promote the military, to attract young people to the military, as opposed to, you know, meeting the medical needs of veterans and those kinds of things, which is, you know, a deep hypocrisy. And the new bases that we're opening in places like Jamaica and South Korea is just I don't think people are aware of that, and I was reminded of it listening to Eve Engler the other night talking about his book. And I think the majority, those are the kinds of pieces of information that the majority of Canadians are not aware of, that, you know, we are becoming, you know, attempting to become some kind of empire that I can't even envision. I don't know where that, how they think that's possible, but they're certainly spending our money trying to do it.
Right. And the citizenship book for new immigrants includes more militarism in it, and the madness of making the 1812 war some sort of heroic moment in Canadian history, and distorting the history totally. But
yeah, and there was a big display of that at the Canada Day celebrations this year in Vancouver, which we parked ourselves outside of with the Stop War banner and various flyers and leaflets, just to draw the attention to, you know, there's more than one way to look at history, and some of it's not accurate, and no matter how much money you can throw at it.
I'd like to get some more of your ideas of how you see anti-war work going forward, and the perspectives that you think those of us who oppose wars should think about.
Well, I've come to really appreciate the value of working in coalition, whether it's a formal coalition or not, because, you know, from my own perspective, we all have our passions about particular things that we work on. So I've been working on the War Resisters campaign with the American soldiers who've come to Canada, and other people work on issues, you know, Israel and Palestine and all of those things. And they're all connected, and we're able to provide an avenue where people are able to get that information, learn things they didn't know about before, make the links between these things. And I would say, you know, right now, the most current thing is the environment and the working with the Aboriginal peoples, appreciating that in BC their land is unceded, in other places there is treaties that need to be to be obligated. Canada needs to be obligated to those treaties, and then to look at, then together we have this instinctive want to push back against the pipelines and the tar sands, because we know, and there's, you know, lots of evidence to show how harmful they are to the earth, to ourselves, how they promote war with their use, you know, fossil fuel use, but also the grabbing of land and resources in order to make money off of them. That making those connections for people, and working together on the various issues that as they come up, and then being able to speak about the gamut of those issues, and make the links back and forth between our issues to show that we need to work together on all of these things, including economic inequality, because all of those things promote war in our society. All the inequalities and the drive for resources are really the big thing that seems to be behind it, and always was. I mean, that's what colonialism was all about, was taking stuff from people for your own gain. And sometimes we need to break it back down to those sort of simple equations, and then build back up our sophistication around our campaigns, sharing information and being able to go out together and work together on the current issue of the day, the hot button thing. So we don't have 40,000 people in the street against war in Afghanistan, but we had several thousand people in the legislature in Victoria against all the pipelines in BC. So I think that's a good sign, and we need to all join in, whether we have political differences on some of the aspects of the issues. If we can break them back down to the basic needs of our human life and ability to live well together without exploiting others, you know, there's I can't think of an issue we can't all work together on in those terms.
Well, on that positive note of future ongoing perspective for joining our strengths, well, thank you very much for coming in. And there are a couple of events you're involved with, and I'll give people the details of that.
Thanks, Mordecai.
Thank you, Sarah. I've been speaking with Sarah Bjorknes. She's a union activist and a peace and social justice activist. She's going to be speaking tomorrow, Sunday, at 7:30 p.m. at the Wise Hall, which is 1882 Adenack Street. She's going to be speaking on the anti-war movement today. But there's also a film with that, a brilliant film called Catch-22. So that will be shown. And then also at the Wise Hall at 1882 Adenack Street, which is Adenack and Victoria intersection, on Friday, November 23rd, doors open at 7. There's going to be a celebration of a decade of resistance. It's organized by Stop War, and it's going to have of course, snacks, birthday cake, cash bar, and more. And there'll be music. Joe Keithley do a single performance, Carnival Band, Solidarity Notes Choir. Sounds just great. And it's emceeing by Charlie Demers, a local anti-war activist, also well known for being part of CBC's The Debaters. So take in those two events.